from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. John 10, 1 through 10. This is God's word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Amen. This is God's word. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open my heart and mouth this morning to proclaim your truth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, we pray that the same Spirit will open our hearts to receive and put into practice your holy word. All this we ask you, O gracious Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters, in your life, and those who are watching on streaming. Before reading the script, before exposing the scripture, let me say a word of thanks to the session of elders, the deacons, and your pastor for the opportunity that I'm having, receiving to preach God's word to you. Thanks. What does a door mean to you? Look at your life. You are constantly crossing through doors. There are doors you cross cheerfully, like the door into the church on your wedding day. There are also doors you are frightened to enter because you know that on the other side of the door, there is a doctor waiting for you with a dreadful report. Children, there are also doors that you want to cross because you know that in the room there is a present waiting for you. Doors everywhere. But there is only one door standing between you and God that you must enter if you want to experience abundant and eternal life. And that door we know as a name is Jesus. The Apostle John, with the seventh I Am statement, presented Christ not only as the spiritual bread sent to revive and nourish our souls, but also as the light that casts away the darkness of the fallen world, or as the resurrection of the elect, or as the true vine that keeps us in vital union with God. But John, with this text, says that if we want to walk on the way of life, we must enter through the narrow door, namely Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. In these verses, Jesus uses a quite complex figure of speech, speaking to us of two doors, on two different sheepfold walls. Our progenitors' rebellion in the garden brought all humanity to enter the first door of a desolate sheepfold. Verse 1. A spiritually promiscuous place where goats and sheep dangerous coexist together while separated from God. In this fold, the Lord's sheep are temporarily kept in captivity, enslaved by the prince of this world, used and abused by his false shepherds, and devoured by thieves and robbers. The other door is on another sheepfold wall, the kingdom of God, verses 7 and 9, into which only the elect may enter by the blessed door of the sheep. So this morning we will look at two awesome realities standing out from this text. The first one, Christ entered through the door of our captivity, verses 1 to 5, so that we could enter through the door of our salvation, 7 to 10. Today we are dealing with the third of the seven I am sayings of Jesus, and each one of these seven statements is pronounced as a harsh and unequivocal response against the Pharisees and scribes unveiling Jesus' messiahship and bringing forth important aspects of his person and ministry. The famous Greek formula ego eimi, I am, is nothing but a solemn, emphatic statement display his divinity and reminding to the Hebrew predicate, the other famous I am who I am, with which at the burning bush, Yahweh revealed himself to Moses. On the one hand, Jesus exposed this figure of speech of the sheepfolds, the two sheepfolds, to directly attack the Jewish religious leader that, as we can read in chapter 9, have excommunicated a man born blind, healed by Jesus. Because the blind man has become a disciple, professing Christ as the Messiah. On the other hand, Christ wants simply to reassure his sheep in every age, even us. But let's first appreciate this figure of speech in its typical Jewish village setting at Jesus' time. The land of Palestine was quiet and infested with wild animals. In the villages, there were large sheepfolds owned jointly by local shepherds. These folds were protected by walls that were 9 to 12 feet high. At night, shepherds used to shelter their flock into the fold, entering by the only door present and leaving their flock in the custody of the doorkeeper as they retired to spend the night in their homes or accommodations. At the door, the trusted doorkeeper used to remain on guard overnight, ready to bar the entrance to unauthorized people and to protect the sheep from thieves and robbers, or from wild animals that could climb those walls. Early in the morning, by entering the door, the shepherd would call the sheep of his flock, and they would recognize his voice and follow him and him alone out to pasture. Now, let's turn to our first point, the door of our captivity. The incident of the blind born man in chapter 9 sets the stage for Jesus' proclaim that he is the promised good shepherd of Israel, who has come and has the right to enter the door of the Judaic fold, to claim his own sheep kept into captivity by the faithless shepherds of Israel, who exploit the people of God for their personal gain. The list of Old Testament texts to which Christ is alluding here is really extensive. Ezekiel 34, Isaiah 56, Jeremiah 23, 25, Zechariah 11, and even Psalm 23. Therefore, Jesus is the Messiah sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to proclaim to them that the kingdom of God is in their midst, and to call God's people through the word of the gospel and lead them out of the Judaic dangerous fold, which has been turned in a den of robbers by its hired shepherds. But also to bring his sheep, not only to call them out, but also to bring his sheep into an estate of salvation, into the sheepfold of God, which is his kingdom, a place of everlasting security and fullness of life. Jesus is lashing out at the corrupt religious authorities that, instead of watching over the flock, defending, guarding, caring for, and feeding his sheep, they abused, exploited, and devoured them of their possessions to fill their bellies, and even killed them, or as for the man born blind, excommunicated and expelled them from their synagogues. Obviously, Jesus was pointing against the corrupted Judaism religion, but we can safely say that this applies also to all false religions and every form of nominal Christianity ruled by false teachers, false shepherds, who keep the elect captive and outside of God's kingdom. Therefore, the door in verse 1 should not be confused with the door in verse 9, because the places to which these doors give access are completely different. And if you notice, on the door of verse 9, there is no human doorkeeper, because no brigand, false shepherd, or gout can find the way to the door to God's kingdom. Only the elect, effectually called out from the fold of their captivity, may enter the sheepfold of the Lord. Beloved in Christ, you and I were in the first fold. But since Christ, God in the flesh, has passed through the door of our captivity, now you are in his fold. And passing through him, you can now cry, "I am alive, I am saved." But if there is someone among us, whether here in person or watching via the live stream, that has not yet entered the door of the sheep, well, may this living word and life-giving Spirit of God urge you to realize your ominous and lost condition, to repent and believe in the voice of the Good Shepherd that today is still calling for his sheep. As for the identity of the doorkeeper, in this figure of speech, some commentators argue that he is a direct reference to John the Baptist, because he was sent to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, Luke 1:17. In fact, John publicly testified to Jesus, introducing him to his sheep, so that it might be revealed to Israel, John 1:31. God's prophets paved the way for the Messiah's arrival. But actually, John the Baptist, the last great prophet among those born of women, was the doorkeeper who brought Christ into Israel. Now, turning back to the first five verses, we read about four actions that the true shepherd, the good shepherd, does, and four responses that his sheep have. The shepherd enters. Beloved, Christ in the intra-Trinitarian covenant of redemption, out of time, received the authority to enter through the door of his fold, to deliver his sheep from their captivity, because he is the legitimate owner of his flock. Then he, second, effectually calls his sheep, each one by name, even you. Because he foreordained, foreknew, and foreloved you. Dean, come out. Alex, get out of your spiritual prison and follow me. Pastor Trey, Allison, you are mine. Yes. Just as the Lord called Zacchaeus to come down from the tree and Lazarus to come out of his tomb, well, his word one day rebounded in our hearts. And his spirit came to take each of us, entering the doors of our hearts, opened wide by the God's shepherd's effective words. The true shepherd enters, calls by name, and leads. Or to render the idea better, a more literal translation of the Greek, the equivalent Greek word, could be, he drives away his sheep from their place of captivity. It's not just a simple act of calling someone out, but the act of emptying a certain place by force, using the force. Jesus comes to drive away and delivers his sheep imprisoned in an estate of sin and misery. Do you remember Jesus' word regarding the strong man? But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. The Lord on the cross bound Satan, the strong man, once for all, providing to be infinitely stronger than him. And he received the right from the Father to take back his sheep, the chosen and loved ones, plundering the sheepfold run by Satan's folks. Finally, we read that the shepherd, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. In the West, we are used to seeing that the flock is driven by watchdogs who surround the sheep while the shepherd stands on a hill, usually, or goes back of the flock. In Israel, however, the shepherds used to lead, not to drive, to lead, going before the flock. This is what Jesus does with his sheep, and also with you. Remember, wherever the Lord leads you, whether it is a place of green pastures, or whether it takes you through the valley of the shadow of death, he always stands and goes before you, always. He never sends you alone. He has already selected and prepared all green pastures and even all valleys for you. Please reflect on this comforting truth, especially now in these dire times that we are facing. If you are saved, you can rest on this comforting truth, that your good shepherd has entered the door of your misery. He called you by name. He led you out of your slavery and then called you to follow him. And while following him, you can be sure that he always goes in before you. And now, in four other verbs, we read the response of the sheep. It is true, sheep see little, but they develop great hearing. And the sheep of the Lord hear his voice. That is why we are compared to sheep. And like them, we are called to work by hearing, not by sight. Early on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene ran to the tomb. She did not recognize the Lord. When she saw him, she mistook him for a gardener. But as soon as he called her name, Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabbi, Master, today, in September 2020, in the middle of a world pandemic, social agitations, financial crisis, and political uncertainty, can you still recognize the voice of your divine shepherd through the Holy Spirit speaking in and through the means of grace, the word, sacraments, prayers? We read that the sheep do not only listen, but also recognize the voice of their shepherd in the midst of many others. And as a consequence, they follow him, and this is what must characterize your Christian life. Because if you are called, you must follow Jesus. While you are in your homes, in your workplaces, in your schools, often it's not an easy call. Not at all. But you must never forget that while he is taking you through green pastures and shadowy valleys, in the end, it is you following Jesus while he is going before you. Then, automatically, if you follow him, you will flee from false shepherds. Look, there are many other voices out there, and sometimes even inside the churches of Christ, competing to grasp the sheep's attention, ready to steal, kill, and destroy. Brothers and sisters, covenant children of God, if we abide in the word of our Lord, if we partake to his supper, and if we spend time with him in prayer, we can easily recognize the sweet call of his voice, rejecting those who are false shepherds. So Christ's sheep here recognize, follow their Lord, but where they follow? It is evident from death to life. Christ passed through the door of your captivity to take you out and allow you to pass through, second point, the only door that leads to salvation. I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In these precious verses, we are told that there is only one entrance into the safety of God's flock, namely Jesus. Just as we read John 14:6, when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If anyone enters that sheepfold through the door, that is through Jesus' person and works, namely through his active and passive obedience, they will be saved, delivered from God's wrath, and on the day of judgment, they will not face God's wrath. They will enjoy the blessing of green pastures as well as the company of Christ while crossing the scary valleys. Moreover, we are promised that those who enter through Christ will go in and out. And of course, not to buy an hamburger, but to find pasture. This going in and out here is a Semitic idiom to express freedom. Once the Lord has brought his sheep out of the sheepfold of slavery and death, they are free and nothing more can bring them back again into the estate of sin and misery, because if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Think about Christ here is presenting himself to the Pharisees as one who fulfilled Moses' prophetic prayer. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out from the slavery and bring them in God's flock, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. Number 27. Two warnings, beloved. Passing through the door doesn't mean abandoning this life. Moreover, receiving the abundant life promised by Jesus does not mean the receiving of material blessing along the lines of modern prosperity preachers. Rather, entering through the door means sharing eternal life with Jesus and be right before God with God, possessing the very life of God himself in our union with Christ. Or as this Synoptic Gospels put it, it means entering God's kingdom, having the right to all privileges of the Son of God in virtue of our adoption. Abundant life is not evergreen life that never has turmoil or tragedy or disappointment or difficulties of heartbreak. You still can get COVID-19. You can still lose your job and be evicted. You can still suffer barrenness, go through miscarriage, experience divorce, be trapped by suicidal thoughts. Abundant life is a life lived in fellowship with the abundant one, the Lord Jesus Christ, your shepherd that walks before you throughout all, and pay attention, especially throughout all your valleys. He has decided you have to walk with him. Church of Christ, friends, God has found a way to get us back to him. This is the good news. After he banned us from his presence, and the way is his son, his own son in the flesh. He sent him to be in his own body, hanged on the cursed tree for me and for you. Although he was found completely faithful, the sword of God's righteous wrath fell on his sinless son. That's how he is the door into the sheepfold of God. He is the way into the life of the people of God, because he bore himself the strokes of that righteous judgment that was ours to bear. Therefore, he has the right to cry out, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Are you saved? If not, how do you enter by Jesus into the security of life of God's sheepfold? How? Well, the first thing we need to be absolutely clear about is that no one can enter by his own efforts, merits. Whoever entered the door has no medal of honor to show, to claim. You need someone that exchanged his perfect personal righteousness, righteous life for your sinful one. Praise God. It's not up to us. It's not up to you. But you need God himself in the flesh to bring you on out of your door of slavery first. Then he takes you through the provided door of salvation. Hallelujah. Therefore, today, you cannot ignore that the Spirit of God is pointing you to enter through the provided solution, to place all your trust alone on him, so that the virtue and the efficacy of Christ's atoning death may become yours, and his righteousness may be imputed to you. That's why the Bible presses us to get out of ourselves and to get into Jesus Christ's clothes. In case you are wondering, it is not sufficient to enter the door of a church like this on Sunday to get into Jesus Christ. No. Neither reading nor liking John Calvin would get you into Jesus Christ. Only genuine repentance and exclusive faith in Christ will get you into eternal life through the door of the sheep. This requires you to experience self-renouncement, self-abandoning, trust and rest upon Him alone, dears. All this takes you into Jesus Christ. When we cross the door, we must abandon ourselves and embrace Him alone. We enter through Jesus Christ when we say, "Nothing in my hands, I bring nothing, not my learning, not my education, not my gifts, not my ability, not my success, nothing, not my praying, not my preaching, not my witnessing. I have got nothing untainted to give to God, nothing pure to claim a seat in His heavenly sheepfold." One of the most wonderful expressions of saving faith I ever come across are the words of Horatius Bonar. In one of his hymns, listen, "Upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity." In conclusion, Christ, our true shepherd, passed through the door of our slavery to call and lead us out from our death, to get us through the door that leads to eternal life. Have you already gone through this blessed door? If yes, praise God. Then do not be confused by other voices around you. Keep following Christ. Do not be frightened of what will happen to you down the way, or what we are waiting for you down the way. He walks before you for the rest of your days. Haven't you crossed this door yet? Listen. This is a time of grace for you, because with the bloody wood of His cross, Christ has made a blessed door for His sheep that gets you into the secure sheepfold of God. Enter that blessed door. Let's pray. Our merciful God, we thank You for speaking to us through Your word today. Please grant us a time of deep reflection so that we can believe, ponder, ruminate, and also retain Your holy word. Help us to remember the terrible days of our captivity when we were far from Christ and outside of Your favor. And help us to consider the benefits of having been brought into the estate of salvation by Christ, our Redeemer. And please, Father, help us to live out this marvelous salvation You have granted to us. And may Your Holy Spirit call and direct those who have not yet experienced it to cross the blessed door of their salvation. Christ, the great Shepherd of the sheep, in His precious and glorious name, we pray. Amen.